Take a Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. I'm going to speak for a couple of minutes here on this subject. What have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately? Exodus 14, are we there? Verse number 31, it's the last verse. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. The Israelites have been in Egypt for a period of over 400 years. God has determined that His people will now be led out of Egypt, where they have been serving as slaves, where they have been the workforce. God decides that He will bring them out through His man Moses. So Moses goes down to Egypt's Pharaoh, and Moses tells Pharaoh, God said, you let my people go. But Pharaoh refused. So God sent a number of plagues, 10 in all, on the land of Egypt in order to convince Egypt's Pharaoh that he needed to let the children of Israel go. Finally, the 10th plague, the plague of death to the firstborn, Pharaoh finally gave in and said, take the people and leave. So as Moses was leading the people out, it then dawned on Pharaoh, maybe I've made a mistake here. These people have been our workforce, free workers, and now I've let them go. So Pharaoh charges the soldiers, get them and bring them back here. But when Moses led them out of Egypt, God had instructed him, do not go through the land of the Philistine countries, because they were always at war. Don't go through the land of the Philistine countries. Now that way is shorter, but you go around the desert and it will bring them to the Red Sea. So the children of Israel come to the Red Sea. The Red Sea is before them. Pharaoh's army is in pursuit behind them. Moses stretches forth, and through the power of God, God parts the Red Sea. There is a mountain of water on the left. There is a mountain of water on the right. And the children of Israel, some 2 million of them, go across the Red Sea on dry land. Pharaoh's army pursues them through the seas, and the mountains of water give way and destroys the Egyptian army. When this happens, Israel realizes the great blessings of God, that God had brought them out of Egypt, that God was watching over, and that God was protecting them. They were so overwhelmed by the blessings of God that they put together a song. Now let's look at this. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 1, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted. Now this song continues until the verse 18. Go to verse 18. Listen to the last verse of this song. Exodus 15, 18. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Israel has realized what God has done. He has delivered us from our captivity. He has led us by day. He has led us by night. He has protected us. He has blessed us. God is highly exalted. Woo! Woo! We are excited. Let God reign forever and ever.
Do you know how long forever and ever lasted?
3 days. 3 days. They start grumbling.
Well, God, we're still back in Egypt, huh?
3 days. Are you listening?
Yes.
Forever and ever lasted 3 days. Now, before we land, you okay? Don't go down on me here. All right? Listen. Before we laugh too hard at them, before we make too much of them, let's think about us. We look back at all that God has done for us. We look back through all of our lives, everything that God has done to us and to get us to this point and to get us to this moment of our lives, and the first little misstep we have, our question is not, God, what have you done for me? Our question is, God, what have you done for me lately? Lately. Think about what God's already done for us. He's already given us salvation. Salvation. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The physician, the whole need not a physician, but those who are sick. God has given to us salvation. God has taken a people who were totally unworthy, and God has bent down and got us and pulled us up and said, I'll accept you anyway through the sacrifice of Jesus. God has given us salvation. God has given us His book. This book consists of the mind of God. God has chosen at various times of history to communicate to His creation, you and I. And now in these last days, in these times, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, God speaks to us through His Son. And through this book, God communicates His message to us and how grateful we ought to be for this book. God has given us His church for strength. That every week of our lives we are able to come in from that world. We are able to come out of that world and in here where we are able to worship God in spirit and in truth. Where we are able to charge our spiritual batteries. Where we are able to be around others who are like faith of ourselves. Others who struggle and go through periods of doubt and periods of sin and periods of trouble in their own life. So that we can tell them, you can make it, and they can tell us, I can make it, and we can go out there and make it together and come back the next week and say, listen, we made it for another week. We're going to band together. We're going to hold hands with God, and we're going to do it again. Over and over and over, we look back at what God has done and how God has blessed us, and then every time some little something goes wrong, we want to point a finger and say, God, well, what have you done for me lately? Shame on. Shame on us. God led Israel out of Egypt, slavery. God led you and I out of sin, the bondage, the slavery of sin. God gave them instructions through Moses to get where they needed to go. God has given us instructions through His Word to get us to go where we need to go. He blesses and He gives and He blesses and He gives, and then any time some little bleep comes up on the screen of our lives, it's like God's never done anything for us. How ungrateful we are. Let God reign forever and ever. And forever lasted 3 days. And they're complaining and groaning and griping again. And what we ought to do is go back there and read that and think, how blind could they be? How ungrateful could they be? And what we ought to do is learn from that. Because God didn't do nearly as much for them as God's done for us. They lived on that side of the cross. We live on this side. We can look back and we understand the mystery of God. That was never revealed to them. It's been revealed to us. We understand exactly now all that God went through and all that God has given to us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, God has given to us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. The next time you have a misstep, the next time all of life doesn't work out exactly the way you think it should, you need to stop and thank God. You need to stop and thank God. The God, brethren, the God who has brought you this far can continue to carry you on. And those missteps in life, those blips on our screen, those trials and tough times are nothing but an education for us. We learn through those tough times that God will bring us through. Every one of us here can look back at stages of life and think, oh, I never get over this. And yet here we sit, saved and grinning. Let's not say, God, what have you done for me lately? But when we sing the song to the Lord and when we sing, let him reign forever and ever, let me let him reign forever and ever. Amen? If you're here this evening and if you're away from Christ, you need to come back. Stop putting God on trial. Every time something doesn't go the way you think it ought to go. Well, it's not important that my life goes the way I think it ought to go. It's important my life goes the way God thinks it ought to go. Because when I'm running it, it doesn't go very well. And that's true with you too. If you're away from God, you need to come back. If you're in God's will, wherever that is, that's exactly where you need to be. And if it's on the mountaintop and you're looking down, that's great. And if you're in the valley looking up, you need to say hallelujah anyway. You need to respond. You can do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.